as we continue our series on Galatians. Freedom in the gospel sort of is the overarching theme. Today we look at Father Abraham. Where'd you go, Ben? I need you. Can you hear me now? And actually, probably a blast from your past. Ben is going to graphically illustrate the message that Paul is making about Abraham.
How many verses are we going to do?
As many as you want until they wipe out. You did well, no dancing. And that actually has a message we're going to talk about. And it, like in Vacation Bible School, it gets the wiggles out. But the question of this passage and that song, who are the true children of Abraham? So far as we've been going through this, Paul's been writing to this Roman province of Galatia, and he's defending the gospel and his apostleship, which was being questioned by the Judaizers, the ones who wanted to add Jewish law to Christianity as a condition, as Paul is emphasizing, faith alone is the sufficient condition for justification versus having to keep the law of Moses. It's now we're starting a section in Galatians 3 through 4, about the importance, a scriptural argument centered on the faith of Abraham. And so last time, Paul had emphasized that the Holy Spirit was received, and then also growing in the Christian faith was totally by faith. If you any regression to that, going back to the works of law was deadly, and that would be foolish deception. And so he also mentioned the experience. We value experiences probably too much in the church today, but he mentions experiences are important as a genuine work of the Holy Spirit. But the danger is a lot of what the Holy Spirit does, or things we think the Holy Spirit does in the church, can be often be confused by other sources. So just relying on experience alone needs to be anchored in something greater. And so now Paul is going to spend quite a bit of time talking about Scripture. And the Jewish legalizers, you know, they would talk about the law of Moses. It's almost like Paul, well, I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to go back to Father Abraham, the originator of the Jewish people. And he's going to show the difference about what Abraham did, believed, versus just what he did, which was something the Judaizers, the legalists, would like to point out, the obedience of Abraham. So he's really going to start a section about using a scripture and why it's important, which, as an aside, Paul using God's word to make his theological points. That's always a good lesson for pastors. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Galatians chapter 3, and we're just going to look at a few verses here, beginning in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations, the Gentiles, by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So verse 6 is sort of a connection to what went above last week, where Paul had talked about, he who supplies the Spirit by faith, worked miracles, all that's important. But now I'm going to get to my real point, Abraham, and from what Kelvin read in Genesis 15, Abraham saw the stars, God promised, even though he and Sarah were barren and they were way past childbearing years, God said, look at the stars, so shall your descendants be. So before Abraham did anything, before he was circumcised, before anything, he believed God, trusted God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So that's the point Paul is going to emphasize. Verse 7, therefore know, probably a command, know this, that only those who are of faith are sons of children of Abraham. The Judaizers would say, yeah, well, look at all the things Abraham did. Paul is saying, no, only those who believe like Abraham. And Abraham's our father. Jesus ran into these guys in John chapter 8. They would say, well, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would emulate him. So having a faith like Abraham, a faith in God, we emulate God and by extension, Abraham in this spiritual sense. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing. I mean, that's just a simple, but Paul assuming that God's word, a book, we might say, foresees. So what scripture says, God says. That is very important in the church today. A lot of us pastors, a bunch of nice writings. No, this is the word of God. And so what scripture says, God says. Scripture foreseen that God would justify, declare righteous the nations or the Gentiles by faith alone. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand. That word's only used one time, but it means to proclaim the glad tidings, proclaim the good news to Abraham. This is, 2,000 years before Jesus. So the gospel, the good news, that small g gospel just means good news. Preach the glad tidings, the good news of God redeeming people by faith. And so beforehand, Abraham saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. And that's going to be part of the Abrahamic covenant we'll look at in just a second. So then, those who are of faith, that can be us filthy Gentiles too. If we are of faith, we are blessed in that Abrahamic covenant, the overarching covenant, by faith in whom God was going to bless the nations, and literally by, you know, physical seed, Jesus was a descendant as a Jewish man in the incarnation, as a son, you know, great, 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 great grandson of Abraham in the flesh. So all the world is blessed because of Abraham, and then is emulated or by his faith. And so he is going to be that example that we'll look at in just a second. So very important. I mean, a lot of stuff there, but Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And if you are of faith, I am one of them, and so are you. So a couple of things we can look at just to apply to us. First of all, the paradigm of Abraham. Does anybody know what a paradigm is? 20 cents. Pair of dimes. That's for you, Howard. That's for Howard. And of course, Ben would get it. But a paradigm just means the exemplar or the pattern or the model. So Abraham is an exemplar of faith. Like Kelvin read in the call to worship, and he believed in the Lord, and he, God, reckoned it to Abraham for righteousness. So biblical history, and Paul is, how he's interpreting this, back in Genesis 12 is the Abrahamic covenant, where God called Abraham out of Abram at the time, but called him out of Ur and said, you know, I will give you land, seed, children, and a blessing. Very important for even things that are going on in the Middle East today. But the Abrahamic covenant, that's Genesis 12. Then Genesis 15 now is what Paul zeroes in on, that here now, three chapters later, that's when Abraham, the man of faith, believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Two chapters later is where the sign of the covenant, circumcision. Abraham, the sign to the Jewish people of the covenant was circumcision. And Abraham and his sons had to be circumcised. But that was after the faith. And then, of course, the story we all know in Genesis 22, Abraham was going to sacrifice the child of promise, the true heir of the covenant, his son Isaac. And so, you know, and you've heard sermons on this, but God had promised him, in your son Isaac will your seed be blessed, will the covenant come through. And Abraham believed him, that all my descendants. So now God is testing, if you will, Abraham. Well, if I kill Isaac, how am I going to have children? That's part of the faith. You would hear that Abraham had trusted God so much that if I kill Isaac as a sacrifice, God could raise him up and still fulfill his promise. So that's the obedience of Abraham and that testing. So Paul then is emphasizing the faith aspect as central to his argument. So all that, the Abrahamic covenant, the obedience, everything had to be filtered through. Abraham believed God, and it was recounted to him for righteousness. Whereas the opponents, the Jewish legalizers, you know, were saying, well, you want to be a Christian, great. But like Abraham, you know, he was circumcised, he kept the law. In fact, there are a lot of extra-biblical Jewish writings that, you know, are not in the Bible. But talk about Abraham keeping the law, even though Abraham, remember, lived 430 years before the law of Moses. In fact, there was one writing called the Ten Trials of Abraham, where, you know, trying to make Abraham a superhero. He kept all 10 commandments. You know, he was obedient, look at the good Jew. He was obedient even before we even had the Ten Commandments. So that's what people were, the Jewish believers were really probably getting the wrong message about Abraham. God didn't like Abraham because of anything except that he kept God's laws. And that was helping to maintain the separateness of the Jewish people during some very turbulent times where we're clinging to our identity somewhat. And we're going to look back to Abraham as that exemplar, that paradigm. So Paul's emphasizing the faith, and Abraham then also was justified in chapter 15 before he was circumcised. So while he was still a Gentile, he was had been justified. And that's Paul's point. You Galatians, you don't need to go back to the Jewish law. Just like Abraham, he was a Gentile and he believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You don't have to go through things like circumcision. And now here's a, you know, one guy said, and you can think deeply about this or figure out, your status doesn't change by altering body parts. Okay, circumcision, I don't know what you're thinking of, but that's a true statement. You know, it's by faith, not blood, not law-keeping, not getting body parts changed. And that covenant then, God's covenant, that blessing includes Gentiles like us. All the nations will be blessed. And this, a guy named Jones, P.R. Jones said, we are soul brothers rather than merely blood brothers. I like that. And so the idea of being a child of Abraham, we are soul brothers, not descendant like Jews, Messianic Jews would say, I'm a twice born son of Abraham, physically, but then also by, more importantly, by believing God. Our ethical righteous, we are declared righteous before God. Our ethical, you know, our lives being changed, is ultimately then that of Christ, which is reckoned to our account. So we don't keep the law for our standing before God. Jesus did all that perfectly. That's why he was a lamb without blemish. And his righteousness is reckoned to our account. And we are united to him as Christians in Christ by faith. So one other issue, salvation then through the gospel. That word I told you one time used in verse 8, to announce the glad tidings beforehand. Romans 1:2, Paul says, the gospel which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so the idea of good news began way before Christ ever came. You know, Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham, was looking forward to God's coming Messiah. You and I, when we look back to what Christ did on the cross. And so sometimes a big word here, the proto-euangelium, the primary, the first gospel began way back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will crush the seed of serpent, of the serpent. Ultimately, that refers to the Jewish people, you know, born physically through Eve, but culminates in Christ as the capital S, seed of the woman. So even back in the Garden of Eden, looking forward to that coming seed, Jesus Christ. And that's what I talked about, in John 8, Jesus said, 8:56, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. So somehow, Abraham, as he's believing by faith, is looking forward to the promise and the ultimate fulfillment of the covenant by God. So this is an important point for some of us, quote unquote, New Testament Christians. Salvation has always been by grace through faith, always throughout human history. The basis of that grace is what Christ did on the cross. That's the sacrifice. That's the lamb slain. So that's the objective basis for salvation from Adam and Eve to the last human being on earth. The requirement to appropriate that, like Paul says, is faith. It's not doing, it's believing in that sacrifice and what God has done by grace through faith. The object of what we believe, you know, the faith, that's directed towards God. So Abraham believed God and it was accounted for righteousness. When we exercise saving faith, we believe God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So the object of our faith is outside ourselves. It is in what God is going to do. But now the content of that belief and what is required for obedience to live our lives for God's glory, that changes throughout history. And the word is, here's a good Greek word for you, oikonomia, house law. In English, sometimes it's translated dispensation. So there are stewardships. It means stewardship that in different eras of salvation history, there were different requirements to express your faith in God. So think of the Old Testament Mosaic law. They sacrificed animals, not to be saved, but as a reflection of pointing towards that ultimate sacrifice in Jesus Christ hundreds of years in the future. So that's, you know, that one, sometimes it's confusing that, or churches think that, oh, the angry Old Testament God, you know, you had to work for him and sacrifice, but aren't you glad we have a nice God now and we have Jesus? No, same. It's always been by grace through faith. So, as Ben so eloquently taught us, so let's just praise the Lord. Please stand. We're going to say the Apostles' Creed as we get ready to take communion, which, tying into this, communion is the gospel, the good news of the seed, capital S. So we are remembering at the communion table what that seed, Jesus Christ, did to ultimately crush the head of the serpent and destroy sin for all eternity. So we will recite this together.